the Pharisee, though he went up to the temple to pray, did not pray. In fact, if we examine his words, we find that there is no prayer in anything that he said. But the tax collector, he too went up to the temple to pray, and pray he did. There is nothing but prayer in his words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It is a prayer worthy of God's ears. The Pharisee thought he had no sins to confess. And so he came to the temple, not really to offer thanks or praise to God, but through his carefully chosen words, he singles himself out. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The words of the Pharisee sound more like they belong to some type of acceptance speech for a personal achievement award than they do to prayer. He boasts of his accomplishments and lauds his God for making him such a pious and respectful man, as if he were somehow worthy of being created, and this tax collector wasn't. And that is precisely why his words fell upon deaf ears. For where there is boasting, God is absent. As Christ tells us, he prayed thus with himself. For he forgot an essential ingredient of prayer, which is confession of sin. But the publican, his words were filled with confession of sin. He is wholly cognizant of his many sins and seeks not justification as did the Pharisee, but mercy and forgiveness. Hear his words. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's pleading for his life here, his soul, as if he at that moment recounted his entire life and threw himself at God's mercy. This prayer, the prayer of the publican, is the briefest and yet, I should think, the most divine of prayers. For it is packed with so many great aspects: God, mercy, sin, propitiation, and forgiveness. His prayer is a delight to Christ, so much so that he makes mention of it in this morning's gospel. It pleased our Lord so that he tells us how and in what manner it was offered, by standing afar off and lowering his head, not even daring to raise his eyes, and at the same time beating his breast out of shame. You see, his prayer is not solely confined to his words, but is an extension of his posture, his very state of being. Everything about him is steeped in prayer. He reveres that which is holy by standing far away from it. The gospeler Luke, who is both a doctor and somewhat of an artist in his own right, presents such a vivid picture in the portrait gallery of men saved by sovereign grace. As a great expositor once said, here we have the portrait of a man who called himself a sinner, who may still be held up as a pattern to saints. My friends, may it be our heartfelt desire to approach the Lord in the same fashion. Now, we have all had those moments, if we are really honest with ourselves, where we have lived as both Pharisee and publican. Not one of us here is immune to sin, and Just in case, if you disagree, Father will be available to hear your confession following this morning's liturgy. Of course we have all sinned. Of course we, like the Pharisee, have had times in our lives when we have been guilty even of the sin of pride. Why? We like to feel accepted, don't we? We like receiving praise for a job well done. And yes, we have all boasted in some shape or form. Perhaps not in the form of prayer, but I'm willing to go out on a limb and venture to say that all of us have witnessed or come across a particularly despising or troubling individual and thought to ourselves, boy, I'm glad I don't act like that. For those of you with kids, how many times have you seen a bratty kid in a grocery store, a shopping mall, and said under your breath, thank God my kids don't act that way? Whether it's intentional or not, there are elements of pride in such thoughts. And if we continually to allow such thoughts to infect our thinking, we too have the propensity to become Pharisees. But praise God for this morning's gospel. For we have been gifted with the example of how not just to pray, but how to live our lives. Indeed, as the monastics show us, that our entire lives are meant to be one continual prayer to God. In fact, as you've heard Father mention previously, that this prayer, the prayer of the publican, has become the staple for the monastic life. It is the prayer they recite more than any other. With each breath, they pray those words, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Likewise, we continually offer ourselves to God with each breath we take, for we, like the monastics, are an offering to God. As the concluding prayer of Vespers reads, and we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days. This Sunday, we commemorate the life of St. Augustine of Hippo, as well as St. Moses the Black. And St. Moses is a fitting example for us this morning, because he was the person who knew what it meant to live in the two tensions of Pharisee and publican. St. Moses was a very strong man, and because of his strength, early on in his life, he would impose his will on others by force, robbing them, and even resorting to murder. At one point, he led a notorious mob of 75 robbers that terrorized and wreaked havoc across the Nile River Valley. And on one occasion, as he hid from local authorities, St. Moses took refuge among monks in a colony in the desert near Alexandria. The meditation and prayerful dedication of their lives, as well as their inner peace and contentment, helped St. Moses find the meaning of life and end his journey in seeking out the one eternal and true God of the universe. You see, St. Moses was a tortured soul, and at first, the monks would not admit him. And as he pleaded with them through tears and heartfelt contrition, not unlike the prayer of the publican, finally, they welcomed him in to the monastic life. St. Moses was to discover happiness in his life, a peaceful, meditative, a soul-settling type of happiness which would forever turn his life towards Jesus Christ. Saint Moses grew to become an effective and prophetic spiritual leader. He was known for his wisdom, as well as his non-judgmental attitude toward others. The story of his sandbag incident is widely known by all, and I'll tell it to you now. Once a brother had been caught in a particular sin, and the abbot of the monastery asked Saint Moses to join the council that would convict the monk. After much reluctance, he came to the council, carrying on his back a leaking bag of sand. And so, seeing such a strange scene, the brothers asked him the significance of it. He simply said, "This sand is my sins, which are trailing out behind me, while I go to judge the sins of another." At such a reply, the brothers forgave the offender and decided to focus on their own salvation rather than their brother's sins. What a wonderful image for us all. It is the image of a repentant heart, the image of the publican put into practice. He could have very well taken the position of the Pharisee in condemning the brother for his offenses, but instead responded with the heart of the publican. May we, like Saint Moses, always be mindful of the many grievous sins we commit and count ourselves, not anyone else, as the chief of sinners. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.